May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. When you're sharing the gospel with a person who's lost, here's a question. Does forgiveness happen? Does it come after that person's faith? Or does that person's faith come after their forgiveness? Now, everybody listen. You don't ever miss the thesis statement at the beginning of the. If you're leading somebody to Christ, does forgiveness come after their faith? Or does their faith come after their forgiveness? See, I think that's one of the things that we've done is that we've kind of turned faith into the most popular form of works, where we're still trying to manipulate God to do stuff based on we had the right kind of faith. But you have to remember that faith isn't something that you and I do that gets God to do something. Faith is what we do in response of what God's already done. If you remember from a few weeks ago, I think it was on a Sunday, we did this place from Colossians, this amazing section of Colossians that talks about what was accomplished at the cross. And it says this about what Jesus did. And when you were dead in your transgressions, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. When did that happen? When did Jesus forgive every human being all their transgressions? At the cross, 2,000 years ago. And so when you lead a person to Christ, you're not trying to get them to a place where they can be forgiven in light of their faith. You want them to understand that they've been forgiven. And therefore, faith should be love's response to the atoning work of Christ. Grace has already happened. And faith is just love's response to that. I didn't say faith wasn't necessary. By grace, you're saved through faith. What I'm saying is it starts with grace. Faith doesn't make grace real. Grace is real. Faith allows you to experience the reality of grace. But the grace has already been provided. There's a big difference. Forgiveness always precedes faith. So see, when we share the gospel, if you go back and you read 2 Corinthians 5, when you share the gospel, the story of the gospel is to go to a person and say, do you know that you have been reconciled to God? And God's forgiven you. He's deposited in your account every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. He's included you into union with God through a relationship with Jesus and all this cool stuff that Christ is going to live in you. Do you know that you've been reconciled to God? That you're at peace with God? God's at peace with you? He just wants to bless you. He's already blessed you. He just wants you to experience it. Do you know that? And see, faith is a response to that truth. A person exercising faith, a lost person, doesn't cause them to be reconciled to God. God reconciled us to himself. It was an act of grace, and it was completed. Jesus said perfect. And I think, one of the things I know, I believe, that I so little understand still the word tetelestai. When Jesus said from the cross, and he looked out through all human history, and human future, and broken humanity. And he said, it's completed, it's finished, it's done. What does that mean? It's enormous. So So if this is true, that faith doesn't secure your forgiveness produces faith. See, the gospel doesn't demand faith. The gospel produces faith. It promotes faith. It produces faith. It's a response to his faithfulness. See, that when you hear the good news is so good that there should be a response of faith because the gospel produced it. Faith comes by what? Hearing. So faith is a response. So that must be true about the Christian life in every way too. We've talked about this before, but think again about what it says about us in our relationship with Christ, our union with Christ, that he's the vine and we're the branches, that apart from him we can do nothing. So ask the question we've asked before then, if this is true, that there's the previousness of God and faith is a response to the previousness of God. See, because what the enemy wants to do is for everything to be turned on us, turned on our works. And we've talked about that a lot lately. Turn towards me to do this and do that and do this and do that so I can be closer to God. When you can't get closer to God than Jesus is, you are participating in his relationship with the Father. You have been joined to his sonship. So what about prayer and all that stuff? You do that because you want to discover. Not because you want to earn, not because you're trying to twist God's arm. And so if you're the branch, he's the vine, and the age-old question is, how do I get the life of the vine to flow into the branch? Well, the scripture doesn't say that you're a vine that's been you're a branch that's now been attached to the vine. You're a part of the vine called branch. You are in Christ. You've been grafted in. And it's been done. It's happened. You're in him. Therefore, he's in you. And therefore, there's nothing that you do to get the life of the vine to flow through the branch. It's already happening. It's grace. And our walk is just a step-by-step, joyful, loving, responsive, thank you, faith, that that's going on. On my bucket list, I would like for that to be every Christian that I have any influence over, never hear them pray the prayer again, oh God, please give me grace to do so and so. God can't give you what he already gave. He's waiting for your response. Do you understand that God, do we understand that God has done everything necessary to make it as simple as he possibly could so this thing would actually work for us? But we're so determined to make it difficult and hard, I guess, so we can feel good about ourselves. Well, I feel good about Jesus. When I feel good about Jesus, that didn't kind of go in and out. When I'm feeling good about me, sometimes that kind of goes in and out. It's grace. Because if I'm counting on somebody to be bent towards themselves, to do it the right way, to get God to respond, then it's all based on their performance. But if I'm trying to convince someone that God's already done it the right way and doing it the right way, so just believe, just trust, then it's now his performance and not yours. And the fruit that he bears is infinitely more than anything you and I can do. Remember again, if you have actually been woven into the fabric of Jesus' existence, then it's his faith, and it's his wisdom, and it's his joy, and it's his peace, and it's his mercy, and it's his kindness, and it's already flowing in you. You're woven into the fabric of his existence. And so we get to experience that. It's his intimacy with the Father that we've been drawn into. It's his relationship with the Holy Spirit. That's why I think that you'll even find somebody like the Apostle Paul, whose personality type would be a grump, but he says more about thanksgiving than any other writer in the Bible. Because he got it. He gets it. And what else can you do? Let me read this one more verse, then we'll end. Classic scripture. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, just walk in him. So walk in him the same way you received him. Having been rooted and now being built up in union with him, established in your faith, just as you were instructed, overflowing with gratitude. That's what faith looks like, overflowing gratitude. If you have overflowing gratitude, it's because it's already happened, because something already exists. Not overflowing begging, but overflowing gratitude. Heavenly Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.